just a kind of small technical note about this passage from Luke. Luke, whoever he was, or she, was the only non-Jew writing a gospel that made it into the Bible. And we see over and over evidences of that, because Luke puts the birth of Jesus into the context of world history, which was, of course, the history of the Roman Empire. Because he wants to say, at the beginning of this second volume, that at Pentecost, that the mercy of God is poured out on everybody. All these strangers can hear each other and understand each other. So he's setting this up right from the beginning of the gospel. Okay. Last Sunday, I suggested that Advent is a time of the conversion of our imaginations. I mean, it sounds very nice and safe and remote. So what I want to do today and the next two Sundays is try to make that more specific. I think the most fundamental conversion is that we radically reinterpret who we are. Our own sense of identity. That is, we are who we are called to be only to the extent that we see ourselves interconnected with everybody else. I mean, this flies right in the face of the North American understanding of things, that I am myself the more I am detached from, separate, disjunct from everybody else. And what the whole business of Advent, which is the celebration not of the birth of a baby, but of the appearance of the kingdom of God on two legs in this man, whose whole task it was to proclaim the kingdom of God, which means our participation in it. He's not just making some kind of abstract statement about things out there. So to the extent that we see ourselves as interconnected with everybody else, then we're entering the kingdom. Then we're thinking about the kingdom. And among a number of good things that Gustavo Gutierrez said last week, to remember, the kingdom of God is always a matter of memory. You remember. We remember Jesus. But he also, quoting the great Walter Benjamin, that astonishing Jewish philosopher who committed suicide on the German border, the memory is always the memory of suffering. And if we're not willing to enter into that memory, then we shut down the process right at the outset. So what form of suffering in particular? I'd like to go to the great prophet of Advent, who is Isaiah, who talks more about the Messiah, the son of David, and the kingdom that's supposed to come in with him than anybody else. And he has this wonderful repertoire of metaphors, and I'd like to take today and the next two Sundays to shake loose those metaphors from the nice, safe, poetic distance and then say, well, what does this mean concretely? And last week we had this beautiful metaphor of swords being turned into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. That's the kingdom. Strangely enough, the only figurative representation I've seen is in the Kremlin. There's this massive, larger-than-life statue of this guy who looked like a black man, literally beating a sword into a plowshare. So what does that mean? A sword is essentially a weapon. A sword is essentially an instrument of aggression, namely, setting distances between me and the other. The spear, the same thing. But what does it mean to turn, therefore, a sword into a plowshare? A plowshare is essentially a social instrument, huh? You don't plow a field for yourself. You plow a field for everybody. You plant for everybody. You hope for everybody. And so that's an instance of this massive conversion of imagination. So we look at the world again, as Gutierrez said, in this utopian fashion in terms of the kingdom to come, which is not here. There are, I think, now 30 wars at least raging on the planet, and the numbers remain fairly constant for a long time now. All those corpses that we have created. To see ourselves as, first of all, connected to those corpses, and to see ourselves as instruments of peacemaking, that famous prayer falsely attributed to Francis of Assisi, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. So that we're to understand ourselves precisely as agents of peacemaking. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. But again, that sounds fairly remote and safe, therefore, and not too personally engaging. But then I think we have to personalize that. What is in my personal arsenal of war making? The vitriol, the gossip, the lying, the falsification, the distortion of other people whom I don't like. That's war making too, it seems to me. And the opposite of that, of course, is hope. Hope for us. Hope for us. And that's the very essence of the nature of Christian hope. You don't ever hope just for yourself. Our hope, to the extent that it is real, is always a hope for all of us. All of us. And again, that's what this massive transformation of consciousness, conversion of consciousness, comes in and becomes, I think, very concrete, at least it does for me. Very specific. Because I live within this network of antipathies and animosities. And often enough, that's the way I define myself. I am who I am because I am against this one and this one and this one and this one. And that's why it's an act of hope, because we are not there. We are not there. To want to be there. To want to be open to everybody else. To embody the kingdom as Jesus embodied the kingdom. Jesus was the kingdom on two legs, if you want a kind of, I think, useful metaphor. Jesus was there, the kingdom did come on earth in the figure of this man who was open to everybody. So Advent, you know, this is so far removed from baby Jesus and all this bling that we see here and Walmart and everything else, you know. But only this is Advent, you know. Anything else is diversion and dissipation and falsification.